Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Yud Zayin. In our previous shiur, we were discussing the issue of Nidui, excommunication, and we spoke about Rabbonim that felt as a result of offense to their status, to their Torah status, there was a need to put to excommunicate the offender, the insulter, as need be. We continue with references to Talmidei Chachamim in this Gemara. Omar of Yosef Tzurba Merabonan, a Talmud Chacham, Ovid Dino Lenafshei Bemilso De Psiko Le. De Psiko Le, he can rule upon matters that he is certain of. In other words, if someone owes a Talmud Chacham money, he can take the law into his own hands, so to speak. As Rashi says on the top, Ovid Dino Lenafshei to Omar Le, he can say, At Mechaivis Lihochi Vochi, you owe me such and such. And in a matter that he has no doubt about, so he can rule thusly, and generally speaking, that would mean that he could then act upon his ruling. The sugya, by the way, of Ovid Dino Lenafshei, so you find this discussed in Maseches Bava Kama, if I'm not mistaken, in the third perek, in perek Hameniach. The Gemara continues now with an incident. You'll notice that we have a very long marking, and on the side we have a Noseya topic heading, Maisabotsum Rabbanan, Shinidu Beglal Shiyotzolov Shmuis Rois. We're going to embark on a discussion concerning a Talmud Chacham, concerning whom murmurings have been heard. In other words, comments made about questionable moral behavior. We're not going to be exposed to something of an absolute factual nature, but yes, rumors, murmurings concerning the behavior of a Talmud Chacham and what happens as a result. There was a Talmud Chacham concerning whom there was, shumane means words about him, we say reputation, sonu means something reprehensible, something hateful, but in our terms, bad rumors were being spread about the behavior of a particular Talmud Chacham. Om Rav Yehuda, Hechi Levit. So Rav Yehuda says, well, what should we do? Lishamte, to put him into cherem, excommunicate him. Well, Tzricha Le Rabbonan, he's a person that the other Rabbonan need. We're talking about someone who is of a prominence, of expertise, of Torah knowledge. And unfortunately, concerning him, there has been a bad reputation being spread. So what should we do? If we excommunicate him, so he'll be inaccessible to the other Rabbonan, the other rabbis who need his expertise. Lo l'shamte, to do nothing, not to excommunicate him, komischil shmo d'shmaya. You have a desecration of the name of heaven. In other words, here you have someone who represents Torah, carrying about bad reputation, and the other scholars, the other rabbis, not doing anything about it. That would be a chilul Hashem. That would be a desecration of God's name. The question was posed to Rabbi Bar Chana, and he was asked, do you know anything about this? Rabbi Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan thusly, my dichtiv, there is a pasuk that says, ki sifsei kohen yishmuru das v'toiro yivakshu mipihu ki malach Hashem tzvokis hu. That's the pasuk. And in this pasuk you see the following. Im doime harav, the malach Hashem, if the Rav appears like an angel, someone of sterling character, yavakshu Torah mipiv, then seek out Torah from him. Torah is to be sought out only from those who are of truly sterling character, of upright standing, morally upright. The imlav, if he doesn't have that characteristic of being like the angel of the Almighty, al yavakshu Torah mipiv, do not seek Torah from him. So that as far as the subject of this story, since you have someone who doesn't appear as an angel of God, he has a bad reputation. So the fact that the Rabbonon need his expertise, that is of no concern to us. Better that we shouldn't even learn from him. Well, upon hearing that, Shamte Rav Yehuda excommunicated this particular Torah sage, Torah scholar. L'sof ichlish Rav Yehuda. As time went on, Rav Yehuda, though, fell ill. Also, Rabboni Shlebei, the Rabboni came to ask of him, meaning to visit him, to do Bikru Cholim, visiting the sick. V'also Ihunami Badayo. And the person that had been excommunicated actually came together with them. Kadchazye Rav Yehuda Chayech. Upon seeing this individual, Rav Yehuda laughed. He smiled or laughed. Omar Lei, the Menuda, the excommunicated one, responds as Lo Mistayach de Shamte Lu Gavra. Lu Gavra is in a third person form of speech, but it's really referring to himself. So the Menuda, the violator who had been censured, he says to Rav Yehuda, "Is it not enough that you excommunicated me, but you elo achuchi nami chayech bi? You're also laughing at me. You're jeering at me." Amalei, so Rav Yehuda says, "La bedidoch mechayachno. I'm not laughing at you. Elo dechi azlino lahu almo. But when I get to the next world, badicha datoi, I feel a sense of joy. I feel a sense of happiness. Da'afilu legavra kavosech. That even someone of stature like you, someone who is a noted scholar like you, lo chanifi le. I did not engage in flattery." And rather, I stood up to you and censured you with the nidu, with the chirim. Noch nafshi Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda then passed away. Also, lebei midrasha, the menuda, the one who had been excommunicated, entered the base medrash. Omar lehu, surely he requested of those there, for release me from the excommunication. Omulei rabbanan, the rabbanan responded. Gavro de Choshev Rav Yehuda, Leko Hocha de Lishviloch. There is no one here of Rav Yehuda's standing that can release you. Elozil Gabe de Rav Yehuda Nasiya de Lishviloch. Go to Rav Yehuda Nasiya, not to be confused with Rav Yehuda. There's a different person, though they have the same name. Go to Rav Yehuda Nasiya, that he is of stature, of sufficient stature to release you. Also Likame. So the offender went to Rabbi Nasiya, Omalei the Rabbi Ami. So they, or Omalei the Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Nasiya instructed Rabbi Ami, Poke Ayin Bedine, go check out his case. E Mivi Lemishra Le, Shori Le. If it's necessary to have him released from his censure, from his excommunication, so we'll do so. Ayin Rabbi Yehuda Bedine, Rabbi Ami, that is. Omar Ayin Rabbi Ami Bedine. Ayin is to check something out, to investigate. Rabbi Ami investigated his din, his case. Sovar Lemishra Lay. The thought arose to release him. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Al Raglov the Omar. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who was present, he arose on his feet and said, Umash Shivcha Shel Beis Rebbe Lo Noagu Chachomim Kalis Rosh Beni Duya Sholo Shonim. Mind you, the bondmaid of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, the Chachomim took seriously her excommunication. Namely, if she excommunicated someone, they would not release the offender for 3 years. Yehuda Chavireinu Alachas Kama Vakama, all the more so, our colleague Rav Yehuda, who issued an excommunication, we are not going, we can't release the offender from it. Omar Rabbi Zera, My dekamon dekaaso idna hai sabo bebe midrasha. Rabbi Zera noted the unusual phenomenon of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni appearing in their base medrash just that very day. Dalkama shani lo asa, and after all, many years have gone by, and he didn't show up. So the fact that he's showing up on this very day, that the case of releasing the offender from his excommunication is something that's noteworthy by way of, we'll say, divine intervention. So he says, the fact that he showed up today, just today, when this issue was being dealt with, Shmamina, therefore we must conclude, lo mivi l'mishrele, that we should not release the offender from his excommunication. Lo shorale, so they did not release him. Nofak, he went out. Ki kabochi vazel, he went out crying. Osa zibura, a bee came along, a stinging type insect. Vitarke amse v'shochiv. Tarke, he stung the offender on his amse. Amse is his male organ, and he died. Noting, of course, that the issue of ill repute and immoral behavior, and this particular fate that he suffered, there is the element of measure for measure, poetic justice. Ailu lemarto de chasidi, they brought this offender to the cave in which burials took place, and this was a cave of the pious ones, the chasidim. The lo kiblu, they didn't accept him. In other words, he was unable to be buried in that particular grave section. Ailu lemarto de daini ve kiblu, but they brought him to the cave of the judges, where judges, where previous judges had been buried, and there he was accepted. My time, why was he accepted? Answer, the Ovad Kirebi Eloi. We spoke about the person's immoral reputation or rumors about his morality. However, he did as follows. He, was overcome by some type of great urge, some kind of drive or urge to commit the aforementioned sin, offense. And he took measures, as Rebbe Loi teaches, Yomar Desanya, Rebbe Loi Omer, Imroi Odom Shitzro Mizgaber Olof. If a person sees that his evil inclination is getting the better of him, he feels that he cannot overpower it, and he has a drive to commit an act of immorality. Yelich l'mokum shein makirno. So first of all, he should go to a place where he is not known. V'yilbash shchorim v'satev shchorim. He should change his clothing and place upon himself black clothing, cloak himself in black, and then do whatever he wants. By going to another place where they don't know him to be a Torah personality, and he changes his clothing, he will say that he's anonymous, and if he actually succumbs to his evil desire, now there's a discussion here between the Rashi and the Tosfos. Tosfos quotes other Meforshim, whether this teaching Rebbe Loi is speaking about the actual engagement in intimacy, or it's simply an instruction to a person that he should change his clothing, and that alone, the change of clothing and the trip somewhere else will break the hold that the evil inclination has upon this person. But whichever path you take, this person that was featured at the beginning of this long incident, he's a person that had taken these measures so as to not insult the name of Shamayim, the heavenly name. And as a result of that, so he merited being buried in a cave amongst the dayonim, the judges. He had not been on the level that we could accept him as a chassid. Shivcha Shel Beis Rebbe Mahi. Above, we made reference to the fact that the Rabbanan treated with respect the excommunication that was issued by the handmaid of Rebbe. Well, what was the story behind that? The Gemara continues, the Amsa Debei Rebbe, the bondmaid, the handmaid of Rebbe, had seen Chazisei Lehu Gavra. She had noticed a man, Da Have Mochi Livno Godol, a person that was hitting his adult son, Omra. So she said, as a father, how can you hit your adult son? Leveo Gavra Bishamta. She said that that person, meaning the father, should be put into excommunication. The Ka'ovar Mishum, he's in violation of Zeivel Lositein Michal. Literally, do not place a stumbling block in front of the blind. But what, and let's continue a little bit more. What's the stumbling block over here? We have a father hitting upon his adult son. The Sanyav Lithneibir Losite Michal, the Tanaic source quotes this very pasuk, do not place a stumbling block in front of the blind. What does that mean? Bemake Livnoi Godol Hakosuv Medaber. That's a reference to an adult, a parent, who hits his adult child. What is the stumbling block? You're placing a stumbling block in front of the child that he will retaliate. And if he hits his father, the son will become guilty of that's considered a capital offense, punishable by death. So the father, by hitting his adult son, is arousing him, the son, to be in violation of a much more of a serious offense. So we look askance upon the father and view him as guilty of placing this challenge, the stumbling block, in front of his son. As you can see, we have another incident that lasts a number of lines. Resh Lakish have a mintar pardesa. Resh Lakish was guarding a grove of trees, an orchard. Also hahu gavra v'ka'ochil te'eni. Someone came along and started eating from figs growing there. Rama Beikola Velashkech Bei Resh Lakish raised his voice, shouted, "Get away from here! Don't stop what you're doing!" And he didn't pay attention. Omar Resh Lakish then said, "Veheveahu Gavra B'Shamta," declared upon the intruder that you should be excommunicated. Omar late, so the offender responded and said, "Adarabu Leveahu Gavra B'Shamta." You should be excommunicated. Imamon nischayati loch. If I am obligated to pay, if I'm guilty of some type of financial misdemeanor, and therefore would have to compensate. However, nidui mi nischayati loch. Does that warrant my being excommunicated? Also, lebei midrasha. The case came in front of the assembly of scholars. Oma omru le, and they said, shelo nidui. They ruled against Resh Lakish. They said that this man's response that Resh Lakish should be censured, that is binding, but you, what Resh Lakish did, is not. Umay takante. So what should Resh Lakish now do to rectify the situation? Zil legabe delishri loch. Well, you should go to him, that he should release you. Lo yodanale, but I don't know who that guy is. Omru le zil legabi nesia de lishrilach. Then go to the leader, the king, the president, the head of the Jewish people, that he should release you. The sanya, as is taught in the following source, nidu ve'eno yodea mi niduhu. If a person was put into excommunication and it is not known who did it, yevich etzel nosi viatir lo niduyo. He should approach the nosi and have him release the party. So you see a special power vested in the head, in the leader, sounds like a little bit like the issue of power of amnesty, but the power to release from excommunication. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some markings. There's an aleph and base that you see in diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivne heading, this represents a machloikis be'inyan nidui al Talmud Chacham Shesorach, concerning a Talmud Chacham, a scholar who went astray. Sorach means he went bad, he went sour, he went astray. And this ties a bit into the topic we saw earlier about the Talmud Chacham, the Torah scholar, surrounding whom developed a negative reputation. Omar Rav Huna, Usha Hiskinu, they made a ruling in Usha. Usha was a community. It was a place at one time in which the Sanhedrin was located. So they established in Usha, Av based in Shesorach, Ein Menadin Oisoi, the head of a court that went astray. We do not put him into excommunication. Ela Omer Lo, but rather we say, he koveid v'shev beveisecha. The Rashi on this points out, he koveid b'loshon azeh omrim lo, asei atzmecha ka'odom shekoveid olav rosho, make yourself out like someone who has a headache, v'shev beveisecha, and sit home. B'loshon kovod omrim lo, and this way we speak to him in an honorable fashion. And another version that Rashi has is that your honor is to remain at home. So that, in effect, a type of excommunication is imposed, but it's done so with this in this honorable form. However, Chozar v'sorach, if he continues in his wayward behavior, Menadin oisoi mipnei chilul Hashem, we will censure him and excommunicate him because of what otherwise would be or because of this desecration of God's name, and we must take these, let's say, harsh measures to prevent that. Upligo de Reish Lakish, what we have said till now, what Rav Huna said, is at odds with Reish Lakish. Dom Reish Lakish, Talmud Chacham Shesorach, Ein Menadin Oisoi Befarhesya, a Torah sage who went astray, we do not excommunicate him in public. Shenemar v'choshal toyom v'choshal gam novi imcho laylo. And this pasuk refers to someone who stumbled, who went astray. And we darshan this pasuk. We explain the word laylo, which means nighttime. Kaseu kalaylo, cover him it as night. Just like at nighttime, things are not visible, so don't embarrass him in public. We see from time and again throughout the Shas that someone who invests his strength into Torah, pursues Torah, just like anybody else, the Yetzer Hara takes an interest in trying to lead them off the path, and it can happen. However, in the merit of their Torah scholarship and Torah knowledge and sacrificing for Torah, they merit certain types of, we'll say, consolations. And here you have an example of that. Marzutra chasida, ki mechayev tzum rabbonan shamto. Marzutra, the righteous, when he would encounter a situation that a Talmud Chacham required censuring, Bereisha Mishamit Nafshei. Initially, he would put himself into excommunication. And the Tosfos adds, why that? Because one is out of pain of having to censure a Torah scholar, or possibly so as to remind himself that the censuring needs to be undone at a certain point. So Marzutra would put himself into excommunication, Vahodar Mashamit Lidide, and then the one who truly deserved it would then put him into excommunication. Kava Ayolish Bishbize, Shoile Lenavshe, and when he would get home, he would release himself, Vahodar Shori Le Lidi, and then release the offender from his excommunication. Omrav Gidol Omarav. Talmud Chacham minade liatzmo umefer liatzmo. A Talmud Chacham can himself issue an excommunication and also undo it. Omar Rav Papa, Tesi li delo shamiti tzum rabbonon me'olam. I have the merit that I never put a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, into excommunication. However, when the need would arise for such action, hechi of it, what would I do? Kiha, or what would Rav Papa do? Kiha demarava mimnu anegida ditzum rabbanon v'lo mimnu ashamta. If a Torah scholar had done something worthy of excommunication, they wouldn't excommunicate him in Eretz Yisrael. They would opt rather to lash him. And we'll see this idea in the Gemara. Rashi points out right now that it's better, we'll say it's better for the Talmud Chacham, for his ultimate benefit, to be lashed rather than go through the embarrassment of being excommunicated. So Mimnu is they would decide on Negida. Negida is lashing of a Tzum Rabbanon, of a Talmud Chacham, of a Torah sage, and not judge him for actual excommunication. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a crown shape, and this on the side is explained, Mashmos Milim, the meaning behind a couple of words. So we'll have the word Shamto analyzed, and the third line from the top of Omid Beis, the word Shipuri, which has to do with a shofar, analyzed. My Shamta, what is the meaning or the implication of that word? Omar Rav, Shom Misa. There is death. In other words, the act of being excommunicated has in it an element of death. And if you wanted to expound on that idea, you can see the concept of loneliness, of solitude, of being distanced from others, and the similarity between that and someone who is dead, who is finally put aside, away from the rest of life. Shmuel Omar, Shmomo Yiyeh. Shmuel says the word Shamto indicates desolation. And we have a triangle marking, and you'll see as the Gemara unfolds that there are two opposite approaches taken in the upcoming lines, where you'll have the Gemara commenting as number one and pointing out later that the approach taken out is at odds with Reish Lakish's approach that is represented by the inverted triangle. Umahanyo bei kimtifyo betanuro. The effectiveness of excommunication is like an oven, a stove, an oven that's made of clay that's lined with fats. And what the illustration of that is that it's absorbed into him. It's highly absorbed, so that the effects of the excommunication are very significant, and they're absorbed. And Rashi adds the main point. You don't see this in the words of the Gemara, but it gets into him, and it never leaves him. Rashi says, "Umahanya ki tichya b'tanur kishuman. Shuman is fats. Shetoichin es hatanur that you smear in an oven. V'nivla b'socho, and it's absorbed into it. She'ein yotzil oylam. It never leaves. Klomar makel lecholman de mishamtinon le de lo nafka mine laolam. It's a type of setback, if you will, that never leaves him. However, the Gemara goes on to say, "Upliga deresh lakish." The approach we just mentioned is at odds with Reish Lakish. Diom Reish Lakish, Kishem She Nichneses B'Amosayim Reboi Mishmoina Evorim, just as it enters his the offender's 248 limbs, Kach She'i Yoitza, Yoitza Mimosayim V'Arboim Mishmoina Evorim. So too, when it leaves, and we dashed underline Kshu Yoitza to highlight the point of the Gemara, that this idea of it leaving him, when it leaves him completely, it leaves all 248 limbs of the human being. And the Gemara backs this up with with a gematria, with a numeric equivalency, kishi nifnesis, when it enters, dichtiv ahoysa ho'ir chirem. And the word chirem is begematria. We should just understand that this posuk, when it says ho'isa ir chirem, it should be taken in the context of a city that is excommunicated. The word chirem in Hebrew often is translated as excommunication. So the word cherem begematria, the numerical value of that word is Mosayim Rabboim Mushmoy Nahavu, 248. Hence the reference before to it being absorbed into the offender in all 248 of his limbs, the limbs that make up a person's body. Kshi Yotza, when the cherem leaves, it leaves the 248 limbs, dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Beroiges Rachem Tizkor." Rachem, the word Rachem is actually made of the same letters as the word Chirem, interestingly, and the word Rachem indicates compassion and mercy. The gematria Hochi Havu, its numeric value is also obviously 248. So when it enters, and when it leaves, it completely leaves. Omar Rav Yosef. Shodi shamto agnufto de kalbo, you can place a chirim on the tail of a dog, v'ihi dido avdo, and it, the chirim, will do its thing, will afflict the dog. Tahu kalbo, tava ochil misani durabonan, there was a shoe-eating dog. It ate the shoes of the rabbis. V'lo hava yadi monu, the rabbis didn't know what was responsible for their shoes being eaten. They issued a cherem against the offender of the offender who was ruining their shoes. Itli beinura begnuse, fire caught on the tail of the dog, v'achate, and consumed him. So, as the Gemara said, that a cherem is very effective when it's issued. Hahu aloma, there was a tough guy. He was an individual, was a ruthless, violent individual. David Komitzar loy lahutzer rabbanon. He used to bother a Talmud Chacham. Also the Talmud of Yosef, and the Talmud Chacham came to Rav Yosef complaining about this ruthless individual. Omar Le, Rav Yosef said, "Zil shamte." Well, issue a chirim against him. Omar Le, mistafino mine. So the Talmud rabbanon says, "Well, I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of the." Of the repercussions that may have. Omar lay, Rav Yosef said, Shakli shkili psicho olay. So write a document of excommunication. Well, the victim says, Koshikain de mistafino mine. Well, all the more so, I am afraid of what that may lead to. Omar lay, so Rav Yosef said, Shakle, take the written document, Achte bekado. Put it in a flask. A kad is often translated as a pitcher, or it's a small receptacle. The achte bekavre, we're at the top of Omid Beis, and place it in a cemetery. V'kori bei alfa shipuri ba'arboin yomi. And over the course of arboin yomi, 40 days, so blow 1,000 shofars. Also, Ovid Hachi, he went and did thusly. Poka kado umis aloma. The jar cracked, and the ruthless individual died. My shipuri. We just mentioned the word shipuri at the end of the first line. What is the meaning behind that word? And of course, this, the translation of Shipuri is a shofar. But what's the meaning behind it? Shinifroin mimeno. It is a vehicle through which retribution is taken, as we saw. So the word Shipuri has the pay in it and the resh, indicating the shoresh of Nifroin mimeno. He is punished thereby, or through it. My tavra. Now here, we're not asking the meaning of the word, but Rashi says, "Lama toikin kio shvarim." Why do we blow these shofar blasts? Omar Rav Yitzchok Brei de Rav Yehuda Tavri Boti Romi. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Klomar, Shamto Mishabir Botim Gvoyim. The Shamto, the Cherem, smashes the houses of the high-handed ones, of the literally the lofty ones, but it's a reference in a negative sense to the haughty ones, to the high-handed ones, similar to the story we just saw. Tisanya, Omer Shimon ben Gamliel, Komokum Shinoslu Chachomim Einehem. Every place that the Chachomim literally placed their eyes, but any place that the Chachomim had taken issue with, Misa Ooni, the ones responsible for the Chachomim's arousal, they will be victim of either death or impoverishment. And we now go back to points mentioned in the Mishnah at the beginning of this perek. V'hanozir v'metzora v'tum osoy l'taroso. The nozir v'metzora, if during the holiday they leave their state of defilement during which they were not able to take haircuts, and now during the holiday they leave their state of defilement, they are able to take their haircuts. And we should mention that as a result of their haircuts, specifically the Nozir and the Metzor, they then bring their required sacrifices. V'hanozir Metzor mitumasoi l'taroso bo mine Rabbi Yirmiya me Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiya asks a question with two sides to it. Do we say v'shelo hoya lehem p'nai or idil ma'af v'shelo lehem p'nai? The permission granted to the Nozir and Metzorah to take haircuts during the holiday, do we say that is only when they did not have a chance before the holiday? They were still defiled then, and as such they could not take the haircut? Or, even if they had time before the holiday, for whatever reason they didn't take the haircut before the holiday, maybe we still will provide for them to take their haircut during the holiday, during Chol HaMoed. Of course, for those of you who are first-time listeners and didn't learn the previous sugyas, it is understood that in general, one is prohibited to take haircuts during the holiday because the Torah, the Halacha, wanted people to enter the holiday already clean and well groomed, not otherwise. And in order to create this incentive, we tell people that if you don't groom yourself before the holiday, you aren't going to be able to do so during the holiday. So that will motivate people not to hold off and delay, but rather properly prepare themselves for the holiday. But we saw exceptions, and the question right now is, what about these individuals, the Nozir Mitzor, that had been defiled leading up to the holiday? What happens if they had time before? Do we make an allowance even for them? Omar Lay Tanina. So Rabbi Zera, who was asked the question, responds with a Tanaic source. Kol Eilu Sh'omru Mutorin L'Galch B'Moed. All those that were listed as being allowed to take haircuts during the holiday, B'Shelo Hayalam P'nai, that is only if they did not have a chance before the holiday. Avo Hayalam P'nai, let us say someone who had been incarcerated and was released from prison before the holiday, and they had a chance then to take the haircut. So people like that, Asurim, they cannot take a haircut during the holiday. Nozir Mitzorah Avo B'Shelam P'nai Mutorin. The Nozir Mitzorah, though, even if they happen to have a chance before the holiday, in other words, they left their state of defilement, enabling them to take the haircut all before the holiday, they are granted permission to take their haircut during the holiday. Shelo ishu korbanoseim, so as not to continue the delay in the bringing of their sacrifices. Rashi says, "Shelo ishu korbanoseim betiglachosan ad la'achar regel." If we don't allow them to take their haircut during the holiday, then they're going to have to take their haircut after the holiday. The nozir mitzor ein mevin korbanoseim ad la'achar giluach. These two cases of defilement, the nozir, the Nazirite who had become defiled, or the mitzorah who had been in a state of tsaras, they don't bring their sacrifices until after the haircut. Kriftibu kroy, as the psukim indicate. Hilkoch, lo kansimin luhu, we don't impose a restriction on them, b'deloavdi mikami regel, when they didn't take the haircut before the holiday. D'zimnin deloavid kami regel, v'yasrinu luhu b'moyed, nimtso shemashin akobonas, v'enakraven b'yoy mashmini b'zmanon, Lefikoch omru megaleach b'moyed, demutav lekarev zman akrova v'lo la'acher. That even if they didn't take the haircut when they could have prior to the holiday, the lesser of two evils would be to allow them anyway to take the haircut during the holiday, thereby enabling them to bring their sacrifices. Otherwise, you're going to have a delay where they had already achieved purification. And many more days will lapse before they actually bring the sacrifices, which should have been brought immediately upon their achieving purification. So in order to reduce that delay, we say, take their haircut during the holiday and bring your sacrifices during Chol HaMoed, thereby reducing the gap in time between the achievement of purity and the bringing of the sacrifices. Before we go further, we have on the side a nosei, mivne heading, a topic heading with a structural note, and you'll see a bow tie appears in the Gemara, one the next line, and another one a number of lines later. Ovel v'kayin, muskoron b'braisa. In a very short Tanaic source, we will see a reference to an ovel, to a kayin and an ovel, as kemutar legalach beregel, as examples of people that are allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Udalo kemishna senu. Kohen and Ovel were not mentioned in the Mishnah, but in this Tanaic source they are mentioned. So contrary to the Mishnah, we're adding Ovel and Kohen. HaGemor mvaras be'ezin esibos nemar heter zeh. The Gemara will be analyzing under what circumstances is this leniency granted to them. Triangles will also be employed, as you can see in the next few lines. They are shlavei biur ba'ovel. They represent stages of analysis regarding the case of the mourner. The Gemara text. And you should note, by the way, that we have a long point that's marked and a note with a starred note that says, Simanu kinekuda ruka kishibetsim ha'gemara hu. What we have is we're calling this a long point, when in effect what we're doing in all of these lines that parallel the long point marking, we're featuring a rather short Tanaic source and the explanation of it all through these lines. Tana hakayin ve'ovel mutorin begiluach, the priest who serves in the Beis HaMikdash and the mourner are allowed to take their haircuts. Now, the Gemara wants to know, Hai Ovel Hechidomi, what's the case of the Ovel? And later, the next bowtie shape that you see further down highlights Hai Kohen Hechidomi, what's the case of the Kohen for whom we are making a provision for taking a haircut. So, Hai Ovel Hechid, what's the case of the mourner? Of course, it goes without saying, but in general, mourners are restricted from taking haircuts. But here we have a source that says an Ovel is allowed to take a haircut. What is the case? Ilemo Shechal Shmini Shaloi Be'erev Horegel. If you think that we're talking about a case of a mourner whose eighth day of mourning set in on the holiday eve, the day before the holiday, if that's the case, he should have taken his haircut on the holiday eve, the day before the holiday, and not waited for the holiday itself. Ela shechal shmini shelo lios. We didn't explain, but the eighth day means the 7 days of mourning have already been observed. Now we're at the eighth day since the death and burial of his close relative. So if that eighth day came out on Erev HaRegel, well then, that is the time he should have taken his haircut. The haircut prohibition is for 7 days. And those 7 days elapse, so why doesn't he take his haircut on Erev HaRegel? Why are we making an allowance for him to take a haircut during the holiday? Elo, stage two, Shechal Shmini Shel Elios B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. The eighth day of his mourning fell out on Shabbos, which was the day before the holiday, so you have a case of a holiday starting on Sunday, and to have expected him to take the haircut on the eighth day, that could not have been done. So, is that the case, that we're therefore going to allow him to take his haircut during the holiday? Not so. Erev Shabbos. He should have taken his haircut on Friday, as opposed to the case of Shabbos Erev HaRegel, which is Saturday, the day before the holiday. Here we're saying that the case... the case that we're making the allowance of the mourner taking a haircut during the holiday itself is where his eighth day of mourning came out on Shabbos. That was the day before the holiday, which would have begun on Sunday. The Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, Eboya Leilig Luchei Erev Shabbos. He should have taken his haircut on the seventh day, on Friday, which is the day before Shabbos. In this particular case, Shabbos itself is the day before the holiday, holiday falling out on Sunday, Saturday being Shabbos, and if that is the case, so he should have taken his haircut Erev Shabbos. And this begins the beginning of a point that lasts a few lines. What are we then saying to this person? He should have taken his haircut on his seventh day of mourning, which would have fallen out on Friday. The Omer of Chista, Omer Avino, Bar Shilo, Halochik Abba Shol. They rule like Abba Shol. Now, that's very hard to understand just by the words of the Gemara, but Rashi gives you the background. And if we look across in Rashi, Halachik Abashol, Dafi lo kovar, elo shiva yomim kodem horegel, betelo mimenu gezeras shloshim. If a person had buried his dead, his close relative, 7 days before the holiday, then the onset of the holiday cancels the rules of the 30 days of mourning. And with that, there is canceled the prohibition of taking a haircut. So, and the halacha follows Abba Shol, and the Gemara continues by saying, "Umoidim chachamim Abba Shol, the chachamim who disagree with that 7 day period, but rather only if the burial took place 8 days before the holiday, then the holiday will cancel the rest of the shloshim. But those chachamim who disagree with Abba Shol, they are moda to him, they concede to him, b'shechal shmini shelo lios b'erev b'shabbos erev horegel shemutu legalech b'erev Shabbos. When the person's eighth day of mourning comes out on a Shabbos, and therefore he was ba'oines, he had no control over these events, and therefore he couldn't have taken his haircut on Erev Shabbos, because at that point it was only the seventh day of his mourning. The Chachamim, though, are modeh, they concede that on in a case where Shabbos is the holiday eve, Shemutur Legaleach Be'erev Shabbos, the Chachamim will concede in this case, will allow him to take the haircut on Friday, which is his seventh day of mourning. Therefore, if we're going to say that the heter of the Ovel is a case where his eighth day came out on Shabbos, Erev HaRegel, that can't be. We would have allowed him to take his haircut on Friday, even though it's his seventh day of mourning. But nevertheless, in that case, even the Chachamim will concede to Abba Shol with regard to the seventh day as being considered the time in which he could take his haircut. So, what is the case then of the Ovel? taking his haircut during the holiday, lo tzricho shechal shvi shelo lios b'shabbos erev horegel. This is a case where the seventh day of mourning came out on Shabbos, which was Erev HaRegel. And here, there's no possibility of saying he should have taken his haircut Erev Shabbos on Friday. That would have only been the sixth day of his mourning, and that's not enough time having lapsed to allow him to take his haircut. He cannot take a haircut on the sixth day of his mourning. Therefore, since that's the case, we allow him to take the haircut. The first chance we'll have available to allow him to take the haircut would be during Chol HaMoed of the holiday. Tana Bora Sovar Law, that means the Tana of the Brisa that said an Ovel is mutter to take the haircut during the holiday, he holds like Abba Shol, that the seventh day of mourning counts both as the seventh day and as the eighth day. The Omar Mixes Hayom Kikulo, Abba Shol, who says that part of the day is considered a full day, having observed part of the day in mourning, is it's considered as if you observe the whole day. V'yom Shvi Oyla Lo Lekan Ulekan, and the seventh day is therefore considered, only part of it considered the seventh day, and the balance of it considered the eighth day. And when a burial takes place 8 days before the holiday, the laws of the Shloshim are suspended. So we have the case of the Mishnah of where we are allowing the Ovel to take the haircut during the holiday. It's a case where a holiday came out on a Sunday. Shabbos was the seventh day. Friday is therefore not an option for his taking of the haircut. And we're therefore left with Chol HaMoed. The came of the Shabbos, and since the seventh day, which is Erev HaRegel, since Erev HaRegel, the holiday eve, is on a Shabbos, onus who? Our person, the one that's featured in his brisa, is at a point that's beyond his control, vis-a-vis allowing a haircut before the holiday. Tana didan savar lo kerabbanan. Our Tana that says an Ovel is prohibited in taking haircut during the holiday holds not like Abba Shol, but rather like the Rabbanan, the Amri, that say lo amrino mixes hayom kuglo. We don't say that part of the day is like an entire day. Va'akati lo sholim avelus d'shiva. And with that in mind, so once we say the seventh day comes out on a Shabbos, we don't say that part of it is like the day before and part of it is like the eighth day, and therefore it's still in the midst of his Avelus. If we glance at the Rashi, that we find about where we are right now across in the Rashi from where we are in the Gemara. V'tana didon, d'tani elu megachad regel v'lo ovel. The Mishnah listed cases of where we do allow haircuts during the Chol HaMoed, and ovel is not mentioned amongst them. Sofer k'rabbanan, Rashi continues, d'amri lo amrino mixus hayom kukulo. We don't say that part of the day is considered as if it's a whole day. Elo shiva shleimin bo'inan. We require seven full mourning days. V'akati lo shalom avelus d'shiva k'nim regal. And our Mishnah is looking at this very same case and saying that, well, since we don't say mixus hayom kukulo, so the mourning did not finish before the holiday. For lo havi onus, and therefore it's not a situation of onus. The afilu lo havi Shabbos, even if the seventh day of mourning was not a Shabbos, lo motzi legaleach, he wouldn't be able to have taken a haircut during the holiday. Lochi eino megach b'moed, and therefore we cannot allow, since we don't have
a situation of the 7 days having been completed before the holiday. So the laws of Shloshim, which include the haircut restriction, they kick in. They are activated. And therefore, he cannot take a haircut during the holiday. The laws of Shiva, of Shloshim, of the 30 days of mourning, are not suspended. The Gemara continues, Hai Kohen Hechidon. What is the case of the Kohen that we say he's allowed to take a haircut during the holiday? If you say that his Mishmar, his service group, the Kohanim, we didn't mention now, but we've mentioned this in recent Shiurim a number of times, that each week a new group of Kohanim would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. This is featured quite prominently at the end of Maseches Sukkah. There were 24 Mishmaros, and the change of guard, so to speak, where each service group, after serving a week, would change over to the next week's service group, that took place on Shabbos. And we're now looking at, we also mentioned that a Kohen must take a haircut before entering his Mishmar, before his service week in the Beis HaMikdash. He must groom himself for that. So what is the case of the Kohen that was featured in the Brisa above? Ilemo de Shalim Mishmarto Erev Regel. If it's a case where his Mishmar, his service week, ended on Shabbos, Iboile Ligluchi Erev Horegel, then he should have taken his haircut before the onset of Shabbos. In other words, he should have taken his haircut on Thursday of that week that he was serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo Tzricha, so that's not the case. Rather, the Shalom Mishmarto Boregel. His Mishmar, his service, his week of service ended on the holiday itself. And what we mean here is on Shabbos of the holiday. So you just imagine if Shabbos began on a Thursday. So the Mishnah is talking about a case where the holiday which began on Thursday, the Shabbos that comes out in its midst, is the end of the service group that had been serving for that particular week. So we're dealing with that scenario where Shalom Mishmarto Boregel, and as we explained, his Mishmar ended up, finished, completed on Shabbos, which was in effect, let's say, the third day of the holiday having begun on Thursday. Tana Didon Sovar. Now, our Tana, which says you're not allowed to Megalech B'Moyed, who doesn't include the Kohen, Kevon Disnan, since we have been taught, B'Shloshet Prokem B'Shana Hoyu Kol HaMishmor Shavos Be'imurei HaRegolim U'V'Chiluk Lechem HaPonim, for three time periods during the year, the week of Pesach and the week of Sukkot and the holiday of Shavuos, all the Kohanim came, all the Mishmoros, all the service groups of Kohanim came from all over the country, and during those three time periods, they divide equally the innards, those are Emurim, Shavos Be'imurei HaRegolim. They are Shavos in, I made a mistake here, not innards, but they are equal in the division of Emurei, means Ne'emar, the sacrifices that are said in the context of the holidays, and also they are equal in the division of the Lechem Aponim, the Shovreds, that sat from week to week in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. So, since the service groups of Kohanim are all present during the holidays, and we have a service group that we were featuring before, whose end came out on Shabbos, Erev HaRegel, well, it's Keman Delo Sholem Mishmarto Beregel Domi. We therefore have to say
Let's just go over the case again of the Kohen where his Mishmar ended off on Shabbos during the holiday, where the holiday had begun, let's say, on Thursday. So this service, that particular week service group, doesn't really end on that Shabbos because of the source we just saw, that all service groups serve throughout the entire holiday. So it's as if his service group, his service time, the week of service time, really isn't over on that Shabbos. He is going to be working throughout the balance of the holiday in the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result of him being in the middle of his Mishmor, so of course he cannot take a haircut. And that's the opinion of our Mishnah. The Tana Bora Sofar, the Tana of the Braisa above, that said the Kohen whose Mishmor ends on Shabbos, we'll say the third day of the holiday, he holds Afagav B'Shach B'Hanach Mishmoros, even though this particular Kohen is part of the Kohanim that are serving throughout the holiday, Mishmorte Mia Shlimole, his own service group, as is represented by the biannual week of service that Kohanim are to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, that particular aspect of his service does end on Shabbos. It's true he's going to continue, but not as not representing that particular week service group, but simply being a part of the collective kahuna. So as far as rules concerning service week having come to a conclusion, the Braisa feels we can say that. And since he couldn't have taken his haircut before the holiday, being that he was in the middle of his Mishmor at that point, we allow him to take the haircut during the holiday. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue, we're going to want to just take note of that. We have some charts that accompany the Gemara that we just finished, and you can see the Mishmor and the Yemei HaChag and how they overlap, where the end of the Mishmor was on Shabbos when the holiday had begun on Friday, on Thursday, but that entire week was in the middle of his Mishmor, a time which that Kohen could not have taken the haircut, and therefore we will allow him to take haircut during the Chol HaMoed of the holiday, even though he is serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is all a part of what the Braisa had said above. The slash mark that we see now in the Gemara indicates a new trend of thought, Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that says, Kol Elu She'omru Mutorn L'Galech B'Moyed, all those that we said are allowed to take their haircut during the holiday, Mutorn L'Galech B'Mei Evlon. They can take a haircut in the midst of their mourning period. So that if someone, let's say, was released from incarceration, and all throughout his incarceration period, naturally he was not able to take his haircut, and then he finds himself leaving his incarceration, but finds himself in the middle of mourning, some close relative had died, we're going to allow him to cut his hair, even though he is an ovel. V'hat Tanya, we ask a question, Asurim. We have a Tanaic source that's taught here very briefly in one word, but it's part of a larger source that says that anyone who is mutter to take the haircut during the holiday is not going to be mutter to take his haircut during the mourning period. So is that not a problem? We have two, say, sources that counter each other. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Shila, Kitanya hi, Hacha, Mutarin. The source that we read that indicates that all those mentioned in the Mishnah are able to take a haircut during their Avel period, that's a case of B'shetochvuhu Avelov. He has a consecutive need for mourning. In other words, a relative died, and the very next week another relative died, so that there was no gap in time between the mourning periods. And as a result of that, so we are lenient and allow him to cut his hair, even though he is experiencing mourning. So the Gemara
analyzes. If the allowance for haircut is because we're dealing with someone that had consecutive mourning periods to observe, why does the source above speak about all those that were said in the Mishnah that could take haircut during the holiday? Why do you need that Kol Elu Shomru opening? Afilu Kuli Al Monami. The same would apply to anybody, not even anyone who experiences a consecutive Avelus. We will allow him to take his haircut during the second mourning period. The Sanya Tachfu Avelus Acharze, a person who Lo Aleinu experienced consecutive mournings, Hichbid Saru, of his hair is growing long, is heavy. He can reduce the weight of the hair on his head through a tar. A tar is a razor blade. It's not necessarily the most normal way of taking a haircut, but he can reduce the weight of the hair on his head through the tar, the razor, and he can wash his clothing in water. The Gemara points out, Ha itmar Allah. It was said concerning this source, and here we have to, we should point out, we have to answer the question, that if you're going to say that the allowance is tachfu avelov, so why does the Tanaic source before limit the allowance to those who were mentioned in the Mishnah when anyone could take a haircut? So the Gemara answers, well, it was said concerning the case of Tachfu Aveilov, it was said concerning that by Rav Chisda, Hoitmar Lo Amar Rav Chisda, Betar V'lo B'Misparayim. The heter of taking a haircut is using a razor blade and not the standard type of haircut with scissors. B'Mayim, the washing of clothing that we made reference to, that is allowed. Yeah, but it's limited. But it's b'mayim, water, using water, v'lo b'neser, v'lo bo, and not neser nor oil, which are types of detergent. So that is true with regard to any case of tochfu avelov, where there's consecutive mourning. We make certain leniencies, allowances, but there is a cap placed on that leniency, a limitation to it. However, regarding the case that opened up this section of the Gemara called Eli Shomrim from the Galeach B'Moyed, that though all those that were listed in Mishnah being allowed to take a haircut during the holiday are allowed to take their haircut in Yemei Evelyn during their mourning period, in the case of someone who was one of the examples listed in the Mishnah that finds themselves experiencing a consecutive mourning, there we say you can do the haircut and wash the clothes without any change. The haircut can be done even using a scissors the regular way. So that there remains a distinction between a commoner or standard case of someone having Lo Aleinu consecutive mournings versus someone who, let us say, left the Beis Hamikdash, left incarceration, or any of the other examples we saw in the Mishnah, and then he finds himself celebrating or experiencing a consecutive mourning period, that we will make even more allowance for him, as we said. Omar Rav Chisda, Zoysoy Meres, from this discussion we see Ovel Osir B'Tachbosis, a standard Ovel, a standard mourner, is prohibited in washing of clothing. As you can see, there's another slash mark, and on the side of the one we have a nose, a topic heading, Isir Netila Sipornayim B'Moye B'Evel, the prohibition of cutting one's fingernails on Chol HaMoed or during the mourning period. We should point out that the words Moed and Ovel are highlighted with diamonds. So Tana Rabbanan, Kishem She Omru Osur Legaleach B'Moed Kach Osur Litol Tzipronayim B'Moed Rebbe Yehuda.
Rabbi Yossi Matir, just as we said, it's also to take a haircut during the Chol HaMoed period, so too it's also to clip one's fingernails. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi Yossi is more lenient. Ukshem Shomru Ovel also Legalech Bimei Evlo Kachos Selitos Ram Bimei Evlo. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And just as we said regarding a mourner, as someone who is forbidden to cut his hair, so too it is also for him to, for the mourner to remove his fingernails during his mourning period. Rabbi Yossi Matir. And again, you see the same machlokes that we saw before between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yehuda was the more stringent opinion and Rabbi Yossi the more lenient. Omar Ula. Now we have used the trapezoid shape to highlight another two names, Ula and Shmuel, who actually you'll see are at odds with one another in terms of psak. Omar Ula, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ba'ovel, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi b'moyed. So Ula says that we'll follow Rabbi Yehuda, which means the direction of stringency with regard to the case of an ovel, and that would mean that the ovel cannot remove his fingernails during his mourning period, but the halacha will follow Rabbi Yossi when it comes to the rules of Chol HaMoed, and that's the lenient approach, that you can remove your fingernails during Chol HaMoed. You can clip your fingernails, trim them on Chol HaMoed. Shmuel is more lenient than Ula. Where was Ula's stringency found? In the case of the Ovel. So Shmuel says, halacha, we're at the top of Yud Ches Amar Aleph, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi b'moed u b'ovel. Notice we dash underline the key word, and this can be contrasted with Ula's psak, Ula's ruling. Here, Shmuel's ruling is like that of Rabbi Yossi, even with regard to Avelus. The Omar Shmuel, Lokhu Divrei HaMeikel, Be'efer Shmuel, has a general principle that when you have a machlokes in the realm of Hilchis Avelus, that we follow the opinion of the lenient opinion in that area of law. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.